Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yuma Daf Ayin Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Before we begin our shiur, we should mention that we will be starting from the bottom of Daf Ayin Omid Beis, three lines from the bottom, the last word on the line. It's also recommended to have access to a Chumash for today's shiur. We'll be referring to Psukim, to quite a few, as a matter of fact, as we go along. Before also the actual text is concerned, we're going to look at the side of our Gemara, our Noseh, our topic heading that you find on the side of Daf Ayin Omid Beis at toward the end of the page, the end of the Gemara page, where we've written Kol Parshas Avodas Biyom Kippur Ksuvo Al HaSeder Ad Shemagim Lohitzuas Kafu Machta. When you open the Chumash in Parshas Achrei Mois Vayikra Perek Tezayin, the Yom Kippur service in the Beis HaMikdash is featured. A number of activities took place, and they're presented in their order until you get to Pasuk Chof Gimel. So that at the immediately preceding Psukim, you see the activity that was done of a specific Yom Kippur nature, and it was done in the Kohen Gadol's white clothing after he had done the morning daily sacrifice, the Tomid Shel Shachar, and whatever accompanied it. We are not going to get into detail here. This was actually the subject of a previous shiur, but that was done in the standard year-round 8 garments of the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol, as you all know from having learned Yuma, was basically the sole worker when it came to the Yom Kippur activities. So after the Tomid Shel Shachar was offered in his, while wearing the standard 8 clothing, sometimes called the Big Day Zov, the golden clothing, he then switched into his special Yom Kippur garb for linen, white linen clothing. And that is what you see featured in the Psukim leading up to our point, the point with which we will be opening today's Gemara Shir. So he was wearing those clothing, and we know that in the course of Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol would immerse himself 5 times, an immersion at each change of clothing. So there was a morning immersion, which then involved his putting on the golden clothing, and then a second immersion in a mikveh, whereby he put on his white clothing for the special Yom Kippur roll, which involved, amongst other things, the offering of the incense and the sprinkling of the blood of the par and sor of Yom Kippur in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then after that, there was a change back into golden clothing, the standard clothing, which was preceded, of course, by a third mikveh immersion. And after that, there was a change back into the white clothing, into white clothing, actually different white clothing, but they were white clothing. That would have been the fourth tevilah. And then to end off the day, again, a fifth tevilah, a fifth immersion, where he would put back his golden clothing. This sukya is at the stage where he is in the white clothing, and as we look at the psukim, even without actually reading all of the psukim inside, but we just mentioned that he was dealing with the with the Yom Kippur activities, including the confession made on the Soyer HaChai, the Soyer Mishtaleach, Soyer Lazozel. And that's what we see when we are reading the Psukim leading up to Pasuk Chof Gimel. The Soyer HaChai is the subject of the confession, and it is sent away to the desert with the appointed individual known as the Ish Iti, carrying with it the sins of Israel. Now, when this is taking place, the Kohen Godol is wearing his white clothing. The next Pasuk, Pasuk Chof Gimel, which is the Pasuk that this Gemara opens up with, Pasuk Chof Gimel reads, and again, we had recommended having a Chumash, Vayikra Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Chof Gimel, Uvo Aaron El Ohel Moed, and the Kohen Gadol, which is Aaron, enters the Ohel Moed. And then it says, Uposhad Es Bigdei HaBor Asher Lovash B'Voel HaKodesh V'Nicham Sham. He then takes off the white clothing that he had worn upon his entrance to the Kodesh. Now this is a very vague pasuk. It says he enters the Ohel Moed and then he takes off the clothing. Now obviously he's not taking off his white clothing in the Ohel Moed. So what did he enter the Ohel Moed for? and after he entered the Ohel Moed, it says, and then he took off the white clothing that he had been wearing. Well, if you look at the pasuk in its simple, if you look at the flow of the psukim in their simplest form, well, he was wearing his white clothing. So why does the pasuk have to say that he removes the white clothing that he had been wearing? Of course, he was wearing them. That's obvious. So if we insert additional information that is not reflected by the order of the psukim, then the whole picture changes. That is going to be the subject of our Gemara. And in fact, maybe before we read the actual text, sometimes it's good to familiarize yourself with what will be coming up before we do it in the actual text. So our hope once again is, forgive me if I'm sounding repetitive, but you should have a Chumash in front of you. And in Pasuk Chof Daled, the Torah tells us he immerses himself and he puts on his clothing. V'rochas es besor b'mayim b'mokum kodesh v'lovash es begodov. V'yotza v'yosa es oiloso v'es oiloso am v'chiper ba'adoi uv'ad beiso. We spoke extensively in our previous shiur about the various korbanos that are offered on Yom Kippur. Here we have a reference to two ram offerings, a personal ram offering, and the Eil Ha'om, a ram of the nation, which is a korban oila. If you take the information in Pasuk Chof Daled and place it right after Pasuk Chof Beis, then what we will be witnessing is he had been wearing, as we said, his white clothing for the internal Yom Kippur activities and the confession over the scapegoat, the Soyer Lazozel, and that was in Pasuk Chof Beis. In Pasuk Chof Daled, we would then imagine that after having worn the white clothing for the Yom Kippur services, he changes into the golden clothing. And of course, he immerses in the mikveh, which we said is necessary between changes of clothing. And that's what you see in Pasuk Chof Daled, immersion in a mikveh. And then V'lovash es begodav, he then puts on his golden clothing and goes to offer the oilosaves. As the pasuk says, "V'yotzav v'yosas eilosaves eilosalam v'chiber bado v'adom." He then goes and processes these korban olos, which are external courtyard based activities. They're done in the azorah and not in the heichal, which would have demanded white clothing. But no, it's done in the azorah, which the golden clothing are quite appropriate. And then after doing that, he would go back into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is what is featured in Pasuk Chof Gimel. Of course, another immersion is required. A fourth immersion is required. Entering the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that's what the Pasuk says in Pasuk Chof Gimel, Va Aharon El Oil Moed. He enters the Oil Moed for the purpose of removing the Kaf and Machta, the vessels, the pans that had been used in the incense during the earlier part of the service. The pans he had left in there until this point. So he's going back into the Oil Moed, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, removing the pans, and for this he is wearing the white clothing. And he then exits, again necessitating a change, back into the golden clothing for the fifth immersion of the day, and doing what needs to be done after that. That's the general scheme of the Gemara we will be dealing with. The Gemara will ask, why was it necessary for us to change the order of the Psukim if the whole goal is to have something between that which is taught in Pasuk Chof Beis and that which is taught in Pasuk Chof Gimel? Could we not have imported some other external activity and put it in that spot, leaving the sequence of Psukim in Perek Tes Zayin as they are, just inserting something external, and we would have been able to accomplish a change into golden clothing between Pasuk Chof Beis and Pasuk Chof Gimel, and then continue with Pasuk Chof Gimel changing back into the white clothing, and then continuing onwards, Pasuk Chof Daled changing back into the golden clothing, essentially preserving what we want to do, the basic model, without changing the order of the of these specific psukim. So that will be something the Gemara itself will deal with. But having spoken this out ahead of time, our hope is that it'll be a little bit easier as we go into the Gemara. So with all of that introduction aside, let us now turn to the Gemara itself. Ayin, Daf Ayin Amud Beis, toward the bottom, three lines from the bottom, Kidesh Yodov Veraglov, Tonu Rabbonan, Uvo Aaron El Oyol Moyed. The Pasuk says, Pasuk HaGimel, and he enters the Oyol Moyed, the enclosed part of the Beis HaMikdash, Lama Hubo, what is he going in there for? As we saw already by learning the psukim with the open chumash, we saw that it didn't reveal what was happening. It just says he went in. Well, what did he go in for? Answer, Lahoitzi es hakaf v'es hamachta. He went in to remove these two vessels, the kaf and machta. They were used for holding the incense and the coals that were brought in there earlier for the incense offering in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So he's now going back into the Kodesh HaKadoshim to remove the Kaf and Machta. We continue at the top of Ayin Aleph. Shekol HaParsha Kula Nemro Al HaSeder. All of the psukim from the beginning of Perek Tes Zayin reflect the order of activities during Yom Kippur in the Beis HaMikdash Chutz MiPasuk Zeh, with the exception of this Pasuk, Pasuk Chof Gimel, which is not in its actual location as far as order of events are concerned. My time off. Why is this? Before we continue in the Gemara, we have a marking, a crown shape, and on the side, under our mivneh, or structural note, we note that these are these crowns. You have one here, and a few lines later around Rava, Hesberim Lama Hadichtiv. Once again, Hesberim Lama Hadichtiv Pasuk Chof Daled Hikdim Lama Shebet Pasuk Chof Gimel. We're going to explain why the events in Pasuk Chof Daled, which involve the processing of the Eilo, the El Ha'am, the ram offerings, why they necessarily took place before that which is taught in Pasuk Chof Gimel. So as we said, Rav Chista addresses this, and later Rava will address this. Omar Rav Chista. And the answer here takes a number of lines. Let's take note of that. It's a long answer. Rav Chisda tells us, Gemiri, we have an oral tradition. Chomesh tvilos v'asora kiddushin toivel kohen gadol u'mekadesh bo bayom. The oral tradition states that there are five instances of immersion in the mikveh on the part of the kohen gadol, and 10 hand-feet washings that are called kiddush yadayim raglayim, that he does in the course of the day. Ve'i amris kesidron ksivi, if you leave the psukim as they are, namely, you would be just leaving in from Pasuk of Gimel, from Pasuk of Beis into Pasuk of Gimel. So what you will have noticed is that leading up till that point, he had done the early morning immersion before before working in the Beis HaMikdash. Then after the Tomet Shel Shachar, he did a second immersion into the white clothing for the Yom Kippur services. And if we keep the order straight as it is, so Pasachov Gimel, Pasachov Beis, he was in those white clothing following that second immersion. Pasachov, we said again, Chof Beis, Chof Gimel. And then when you get to Chof Dalid, that will be the third immersion where he changes into the golden clothing for the Elo and El Ha'am. So if you leave the Psukim as they are, Lo Mishkachas Lo Elo Sholosh Tevilos V'Shisha Kiddushim, you won't find more than a total of 3 immersions, as we just described, and 6 kiddushin, when we know that there were 5 immersions, not 3, 5 and 10 kiddushin. So what have we accomplished by telling you that after Chof Beis, which represented activities following the second mikveh, the second tevilah, then imagine there is Pasuk Chof Dalet. And when I say imagine, it means imagine the reordering of the psukim, but in actuality, it's not a function of imagination, but rather after Chof Beis, he then did the Elov Elam, necessitating a third immersion. After Elov Elam, back into white clothing, that's a fourth immersion for going in to take out the Kaful Machta. And after taking out the Kaful Machta, back into golden clothing, demanding a fifth immersion. As we said, between changes of clothing, there are immersions. So that would solve the problem. So Rav Chisda is saying, as a result of the Halacha L'Moshe Misina, this oral tradition, that there are 5 tefillos and 10 kiddushin, that forces us to understand the events in Pasuk Chof Dalid taking place prior to the event in Pasuk Chof Gimel. That's his answer. We continue. A new marking appears. The diamond appears, and on the side of our Gemara, we have a topic heading that we didn't read, but let's read it now just for the sake of review. The Nosei, which we call Hemshech, this is a continuation of the topic we have begun already. We've written Lefi Rav Chisda Makdimin Elo Ve'Elo'om Haksuvim B'Pasuk Chof Dalet. Makdimin is to change the order, to make something earlier. We make earlier the events of Pasuk Chof Dalet involving the processing of Elo Ve'Elo'om, the 2 ram offerings. Make them earlier, Lohitzos Kafu Machta Dichtiv V'Pasuk Chof Gimel, earlier than the events of Pasuk Chof Gimel involving the removal of the Kafu Machta from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. U'Bekach Motzim Chamesh Tvilos V'Asorah Kiddushin. And with that, we can now account for the 5 mikveh immersions and the 10 kiddushin. Under the Mivneh heading, you notice we have a diamond featured and a double underline which appear in the Gemara. The word maskif we have in a diamond here and a little bit later. Hatsa'ois chilufios. The double underline introduces an alternative suggestion. Hatsa'os chilufios. Limtso, in this case we should say in the singular, hatsa'o chilufis, an alternative suggestion. limtso chamesh tvilos ve'aser kedushin believe the shabesh haseder hamikros. Instead of altering the order of the psukim, saying that chof dalet comes before chof gimel, keep everything the same, keep the order as it is, and we're going to now suggest an alternative so as to maintain the order of the psukim as they are. Al yedei kach shenafsik bein avodas hayoyim loitzos kafu machta yedei avoda acheres b'soyer hanase b'chutz. There's another korban that appears in the Torah, but not in the Yom Kippur context, but rather in Bamidbar, Parshas Pinchas, Bamidbar, Perek Choftes. And there is a Parsha dealing with the holidays, specifically Yom Kippur in our case, and the Torah features the Korban Musaf, and amongst the different animals that are offered, there is a Sor Lechatas, whereas all the other Musaf sacrifices happen to be Oila Korbanus. We discussed this at some length in our previous year. The Soyer Hanase Bechutz was a Chatas offering. And our suggestion is, why not, after Pasuk Chof Gimel, or let us say, after Pasuk Chof Beis, he had been dressed in the white clothing for the bulk of the Yom Kippur service. After Pasuk Chof Beis, he puts on the golden clothing in order to do the Soyer Hanaseh B'chutz, that which is taught in Sefer Bamidbar. And after that, for the Soyer Hanaseh B'chutz, the Soyer, the sin offering, it's a goat that's done in the Azorah. That's why it's called Bachutz. It's done in the Azorah. Its blood is sprinkled on the external courtyard Mizbeach. For that, he needed to change into the golden clothing. And then after that, he goes to Pasuk Chof Gimel, puts on the white clothing for the entrance to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, for the removal of the Kafum Achta. And that would be his fourth Tevilah. And then the change back into the golden clothing for Pasuk Chof Daled for the Elo V'El Ha'om. Notice we preserved the order Chof Beis, then we inserted something external, then Pasuk Chof Gimel, and then Pasuk Chof Daled. And with all of that, we have also accounted for the changes of clothing and the required mikveh immersions, getting us to a total of five. We turn now to the Gemara, the diamond. Maskif lo Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira asks on Rav Chisda's, on this approach, basically taken by Rav Chisda, and Rav Chisda was explaining why we had to put Chof Gimel before Chof Dalet, why we had to put Chof Dalet before Chof Gimel. Rabbi Zeira says, V'dilma mafsik le b'sor ha'naseh b'chutz. Instead of putting Chof Dalet of Eilo v'Eilo Om before the Hotzas Kafu Machta, keep things as they are, and mafsik means interrupt the flow, as opposed to changing the order, simply interrupt the flow. By after Pasuk Chof Beis, I insert the Soyer Hanaseh B'chutz, which isn't written over here. It's found in Sefer Bamidbar, Perek Chof Tes. And by doing that, we don't have to change the order. We don't have to change the order of the psukim in Vayikra Perek Tezayin. Omar Abaye, Omar Kro. Abaye says that we're not going to do that, but Chof Dalet has to be before Chof Gimel because the pasuk itself begs that. It says in the pasuk, V'yotza V'osa Es Oilosai. And that was it. That's pasuk Chof Dalet. Miyetzia Rishayna Ovid Eloi V'el Ha'om. From his initial exit, he is doing the Elo V'el Ha'om. Now, what do we mean by his initial exit? Well, look in Rashi. Omar Kro V'yotza V'yosa V'zuv Yetzia Rishona Amora B'parsha. This is the first exit stated in the Parsha. We say the exit, it means the exit from the Heichal. There is a first exit from the Heichal. He's doing this. Therefore, it has to be taking place before the removal of the Kafu Machta. Behafsoka shebeinehem la'avodas hayom. In the gap, or the interruption, or the break that takes place between them, between the Hoytzos HaKafu Machta and the Avodas Hayom. In other words, he did the Avodas Hayom. After doing the Avodas Hayom, which involved the incense, and he had left the Kodesh HaKadoshim already. The incense was done quite a bit earlier. He had left the Kodesh HaKadoshim for all kinds of other things. At that point that he had, as we said, he had already left the Kodesh HaKadoshim, included in that departure was the Elo V'El Ha'om. So that the Elo V'El Ha'om had to be before the Hoytzos Kafu Machta. It was something done earlier in the day. So even though it appears after Hoytzos Kafu Machta, the Pasuk forces us to say that it would, the Elo V'El Ha'om had to have been done earlier. We continue in the Gemara. Rava Omar. Now here Rashi provides the structure based on whom we've put a crown marking around Rava. So that Rava is not a comment on that which was just said. Rava is not a response to Rabbi Zeira's question, but rather Rava is a throwback to explaining why the Tanaic source told us earlier that the order of the psukim is not maintained when you get to Chof Gimel and Chof Dalet. So, Rava Omar, and there is a Rashi that Rashi Dibur HaMasfil says, Asher Lovash Kvar. That Rashi is going to be used to explain what we're going to see now in the Gemara. So in the Gemara we read, Rava Omar, Omar Kra, the Pasuk says, in Pasuk Chof Gimel, it says, Ufoshat es Bigdei Habad. And he removes the linen clothing, and that removal is stated after the Hoytzos Kafu Machta, because it had said in that same pasuk, it said, "Vaharon elo omoyed." He entered the omoyed, and we explained in the Tanaic source before he entered it. What did he enter it for? He entered for the removal of the kafu machta. And then after that, it says he removes his clothing. That, in and of itself, is quite innocent, quite simple. However, the pasuk goes on to say he removes his clothing that he had been wearing. She'ein Talmud Loimer Asher Lovash. You don't have to say in phrasing removal of clothing, and he removes the clothing that he had worn. Klum Adam Poishet Elo Masha Lovesh. Does a person, is it not so that a person removes only that which he had been wearing? Elo Ma Talmud Loimer Asher Lovash. Why does the Pasuk say those words? Namely, he removes the clothing Asher Lovash, that he had been wearing. So the answer to that is, he removes the clothing, Asher Lovash means Shelovash Kvar. Meaning, this is the second removal of linen clothing. So, how do you account for that? How do you account for this being the second removal of linen clothing? If you keep the order of the psukim as they are, in other words, you were reading psukim chav, chav aleph, chav beis, all of those psukim had him wearing the white clothing for the first time. That was part of the first the first order of events during which he was wearing white clothing. In Pasuk Chof Gimel, we said there's the added expression of Asher Lavash means he is removing the white clothing that for the second time. So where was the first removal of white clothing? The answer to that is the first removal of white clothing had to have taken place immediately after Pasuk Chof Beis. So then what was he doing at that point? He would have been wearing something, he would have been put on his golden clothing, the big days of. To do what? Well, to do that which it says in Pasuk Chof Dalid, the Elo V'El Ha'om. And then after that, he put back on the white clothing for Hoitzos Kafu Machto, and then removed them for the second removal. That's what the Pasuk says, Asher Lavash. This is the second time he had worn them and now is removing white clothing. So the Torah itself is forcing us into this position of saying that the events in Pasuk Chof Dalid took place before the events in Pasuk Chof Gimel. And that's Rava. Notice the difference between Rava and Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda's approach was based on Halacha L'Moshe Misina, based on accommodating an oral tradition. Rava's approach is from the scripture itself. The same question is asked in the Gemara as we asked before. Maskif lo Rabo bar Rav Shilo. In this case, as opposed to Rabbi Zeir asking the question, Rabo asks this question. The emor de mafsik le besor anase b'chutz. Why not preserve the order of the psukim as they are, and after posuk chof beis, you insert this korban, this sacrifice from we imported from Bamidbar, which would make him turn change into the golden clothing. Finishing this sor anase b'chutz, he would then change back for the second wearing of white clothing, for Hotzos Kafu Machto, remove that from the Kodesh, remove them from the Kodesh HaKodoshim, then switch back into the golden clothing for Pasuk Chof Dalid. Why not do that? Why not say this approach? The Gemara answers, Hok Siv, but we have to confront that which it says in the Pasuk. This is what Abaye had said before, V'yotza V'osa. And the Yotzav Osa means that the Elo V'El Ha'om that is featured in Pasuk Chof Dalid had to have been processed during the first wearing of the white clothing. As Abaye said before, Mi'etzia Rishona Ovid Elo V'El Ha'om, from the initial departure of from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he had already done the Elo V'El Ha'om. So it couldn't be taking place right now. The Gemara continues, questioning that which was mentioned at the top line. We have a little arrow helping you to associate the Gemara now with what we saw earlier. And the question lasts a number of lines. V'chol ha-parsha kulo nemra al-haseder? Is that really so that the entire parsha is in order, with the exception of Chof Gimel and Chof Dalid? V'hokroi ksivi, when you look at the Pasuk Chof Hei, it says, V'yeschelev hachatos yaktir hamizbecha. V'hoder, and then in Pasuk Chof Zayin, it says, V'espar hachatos v'soir hachatos. Pasuk Chof Hei describes the innards of the Yom Kippur sacrifices. The Chelev HaChatos, the innards of the Par V'Sor of Yom Kippur, are offered on the Mizbeach. Later, in Pasuk Chof Zayin, it talks about the burning of the carcasses of those animals outside of Shalosh Machnos. V'ilu anantnan, and we've learned in the Mishnah already, haroya eskain hagodol kishukoyrei Einol Roya Par Visor Hanisrofim. One who is present during the Kohen Gadol's reading of the Parsha would not be able to be present at the burning site of the Par Visor of Yom Kippur. In other words, the events in Pasuk of Zion are taking place at the same time that the Kohen Gadol is reading the Parsha. Let us add that the Kohen Gadol is, the burning of those carcasses is taking place at a time that the Kohen Gadol is still wearing his white clothing. V'ilu emure chatos, the events of Pasuk Chofhei, Bosar Hachi Maktir Luhu. They were offered at his third immersion when he was doing the Elo V'el Ha'om. So that, very simply, the events of Pasuk Chof Zion had to be taking place before the event featured in Pasuk Chof Hei. So, not just that Chof Dalet is before Chof Gimel, but Chof Zion has to be before Chof Hei. The Gemara says, you're right. And the comment made earlier at the top of the Omid that said the whole Parsha is in order, it doesn't mean literally the whole Parsha is in order except for Gimel Chof Dalet. Ema chutz mi posuk ze vi'elech. What we meant earlier was that the whole Parsha is following the order of events till you get to Pasuk Chof Gimel. At the point you get to Pasuk Chof Gimel, the continuation of the Pesukim do not reflect order of events. Question. Umay chozis demishabshis kroi shabish masnisa. What is it that motivates us to mishabshis, is to ruin the order of the psukim, to say that the events of Chof Zion took place before the events of Chof Hei? Shabish masnisa, change the order of events as reflected in the Tanaic sources, and simply say that the Srefas HaPar V'Soyer, the burning of those carcasses, that took place after the third immersion. In other words, the Mishnah said before that one who sees the Kohen Gadol reading the Parsha, he can't see the burning of the carcasses. Well, change that information and leave the Psukim as they are, events of Chof Hei, which speaks about the burning of the innards, precedes the burning of the carcasses reflected in Pasuk Chof Zion. Omar Abaye, Omar Kroh. The grammar of the Psukim indicates otherwise. You find in the Psukim words in Pasuk Chof Zion, you see V'hamishaleach. In Pasuk Chof Ches, you see V'hasoyreif. Those words, as we say, appear in the Psukim as they are. In Pasuk Chof Zion, Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Chof Zion. Actually, just one minor correction. In Pasuk Chof Vov, the word HaMishaleach appeared. That's in Pasuk Chof Vov. And in Pasuk Chof Ches, as we said, the word V'hasoreif appeared. Pasuk Chof Vov was making reference to the sending away of the Sor L'Azazel, and it said there, V'hamashalech es ha-Sor L'Azazel yuchabes begod v'roch ha-ses besor v'mayim, that the one who sent away the Sor L'Azazel, he absorbed clothing impurity. He has to immerse his clothing because they became tomei. And it says in Pasuk Chof Ches, V'hasoreif oisom yichabes begodov. That's a reference to the one who was burning the carcasses of the Par Vesursh Yom Kippur, he also experiences this clothing tumah. Ma, the Gemara continues, Ma Mishaleach de Meikora, just like Mishaleach is something that took place in Pasuk Chof Beis. The Torah describes the sending away of the Sawyer Lazazel. So the Tumah took place in, though it's reported in Pasuk Chof Vav, nevertheless, the Tumah took place back in Chof Beis. So to Af Soyreif, so to that which is featured in Pasuk Chof Zayin, or more in Pasuk Chof Ches, sorry, it said V'hasoreif, so to that Demeikora, so to that had to have been taken place earlier. We mentioned V'hasoreif, but the actual burning that we're describing was in Pasuk Chof Zayin. So just like the grammar of these words, Veha Mishaleach took place earlier, so too Veha Soreif, the events of Pasuk Chof Zayin and Chof Ches had to have taken place earlier. That's Demei Kora. And hence it's quite likely that it was before the events of Pasuk Chof Hei. So, as a result of this, we have to say that the psukim are out of order. In other words, the events in the psukim are not in the order that the psukim appear. The Gemara says, Adarabo, to the contrary, Ma Soreif Dahashto, just like Soreif, it could be right now. In other words, the events of Chof Zayin are where they are. Af Mishaleach Dahashto, so too the sending away is right now. And that would then mean that the sending away is after the Haktoras Emurim. And that, so that we, this way we're saying keep the psukim as they are. The Gemara says no. Vehamishaleach demeikora mashma. Grammatically, the word vehamishaleach indicates something that had taken place earlier, so that the tumah that's reported in Pasuk Chofov is tumah that had taken place earlier at the events described in Pasuk Chof Beis. So the psukim themselves, as we said, are forcing me into a position to say that they are out of order. Rava Omar, a second approach. We have an indication to look into the Rashi. Rashi is found in the wide lines, fourth wide line under the Gemara text. Rava Omar, Lo motzis amris de shiluach soyer, lo bimakomo namar. You can't say, like was suggested in the Adarabba, just above this, you can't say that the shiluach soyer is not in its place. In other words, there was an attempt to say that to keep posuk chof vav, and say that at that point the Sawyer was sent away, you can't say that. Why not? The Torah never expects the Sawyer Lazozo to remain so long, to stick around so long. It was definitely sent away earlier. So the Gemara, we read this now in the Gemara, Rav Omar, Kro Yo'omod Chai. That's the Pasuk that is relevant to the Sawyer HaMishtaleach, happens to be Pasuk Yud, Ad Mosa Yezokuk Lamud Chai. To what point did it have to be standing and remain alive in the Beis HaMikdash? Ad Shas Kapara. Until the point of atonement. The Amos Shas Kapara, at what point is the atonement? Bishas Matan Domim Vesu Loi. At the point of the blood applications, the what we call the Avodas Hayoim, till that point and not any longer. And not till the point of Haktoras Emurim, which is something that takes place later on. So, with this, with Rava's comment, we see that the suggestion of the Shiluach taking place that late in the day is not a suggestion. And that's because of the other Pasuk, which said Yo'omot Chai, which means it stays around only till Shas Kapora, which is much earlier. Hence, the sending away and whatever information you see in Pasuk Vav had to have taken place earlier. So, once again, we see that the Psukim are out of order. Parenthetically, just an editorial comment here, and it sounds maybe to some ears that this is very harsh. We're saying that the Torah is written out of order. Have no fear. The Torah Shebiktav is subsidiary to the rules dictated in the Torah Shebaal Peh. So that in order to understand the Torah, the written law, it basically is a sealed book. It's not understandable without the oral tradition that accompanies it. So in with that in mind, we appreciate that the Torah itself, as we said, remains as a type of sealed book. It's given as something that we're told ahead of time, you cannot understand this as it is. And there are many, many, many descriptions of that throughout the entire Chumash. In fact, anyone who is a student of Gemara knows how many times things appear in the Torah in the raw psukim that don't make any sense. At no sense at all, whether it be from a grammatical standpoint or factual standpoint, they don't make sense unless you read the Chumash along with the Torah Shebaal Peh. So that's what we are seeing over here. It shouldn't, at the end of the day, this shouldn't bother anybody that we're saying the Psukim are out of order. The whole Yesoid of understanding the Chumash is dependent upon accepting the rules and teachings, the instructor's manual, so to speak, that the Torah Shebaal Peh represents. We turn back to the Gemara, and before we learn the Gemara itself, we have a slash mark in the text indicating that which follows is a new discussion. On the side, we have the Noseh, our topic heading, under which we've written Mifgash Im HaKohen Gadol Acharei Avodas Hayom. We're going to have the Mishaleach, the one who had accompanied the we'll call the Ish Iti, the person who had accompanied the Sor Lazozo out to the cliff. He then afterwards we see him coming back and meeting with the Kohen Gadol. The Gemara. Osi Mishaleach, and this is the next day, Motzo Yom Kippur. After all, the Mishaleach was we had learned earlier, he had been stuck out there, so to speak, in the Midbar. It was either a 10 mile a meal or 12 meal journey, depending on the different Tanoim. Way beyond the Tchum Shabbos, he couldn't have come back to Yerushalayim. So the next day, though, he comes back. Osi Mishaleach, and the Mishaleach, the Ishiti, the appointed person, comes back and meets the Kohen Gadol. We have in our markings in the Gemara Aleph and the next line Beis, where might he meet the Kohen Gadol? So there are two scenarios. Motzo b'shuk, the Kohen Gadol. If he meets the Kohen Gadol in public, shuk is a marketplace where there are a lot of people standing around. And we have an interest here in bestowing honor to the Kohen Gadol. He was the leading figure of the generation. So the Ish Iti, upon greeting him, says the following greeting: Omer lo, Ishi Kohen Gadol, Osinu Shlichuscha. The address of respect to the Kohen Gadol, he says, Ishi, it's an address of respect to the Kohen Gadol, we have done your mission. Meaning, I carried out your instruction. Truth be told, it's the Kodesh Baruch Hu's instructions, but as a means of showing honor to the assembled, this is how the Mishaleach, the appointed person, addresses the Kohen Gadol. However, Motzo Bebeis, so if his initial encounter with him is in his house, in private, Omer Lo, so the Mishalech says to the Kohen Gadol, Mechaye Chaim Osinu Shlichuso. Mechaye Chaim is a reference to he who provides life, the Almighty who provides life. We have done his mission. Here, the actual truth is what is said, because here there is no agenda of ingratiating the Kohen Gadol in the eyes of others. Omar Rabo ki miftri rabbonon mehadodi bepobadisa. When the scholars would depart from one another in Pupadisa, they had a practice, Amri Hachi. They would say as follows, Mechaya Chaim, Yitein Lucho Chaim, Arukim, V'toivim, Musukanim. May the Almighty, who is the source of life, give you a long and good, positive life. Since we mentioned Chaim, so we have a pasuk that we darshan, Esalech lifnei Hashem ba'artzus haChaim. This is a pasuk that is in the Tehillim, and people might be familiar with this from the Hallel. Omar Rav Yehuda ze mokim shvokim. Dovid HaMelech is saying, I walk in the land of the living. What is the land of the living? So Rav Yehuda says that's a reference to marketplaces. Rashi, three lines from the bottom, Zemokim Shvokim, Sha'odim Moitzi Liknas Mizinoisov. In the markets, a person buys his food with which he is able to maintain his life. David HaMelech, who was always very often on the run, he was pursued over a significant part of his life. And a person who is in pursuit realizes, more so than a person who sits in the comfort of his home, he realizes the significance of having a place to get food. So he prayed, "Eshalech lifnei Hashem ba'artzus haChayim, I should have the merit of walking in front of the Almighty in the markets." If you take things at this level, he's saying, I hope I find markets. And as Rashi explains, he was on the run, and for someone like that, this was all the more significant. The pasuk says, "Ki oirich yomim ushnois chayim v'shalom yosifu loch." V'chiyesh shonim shel chayim v'yesh shonim she'enam shel chayim. Is there such a thing as years of life and years of non-life? Amar Rabbi Elazar, Elu Shnoisiv Shel Adam HaMishapchis Olav Meira L'Toiva. The reference to Shnois Chaim is like human experience, where a person might have experienced a period of Ra, of bad, of negative, and all of a sudden it switches to good. Rashi says, Shemishapchis Olav Mishahoya Oni bialdusna se'oshile ziknus, a person who lived a life of poverty and in his old age he became wealthy. Doimelo kilu achshav nase chai mitoch misa, gives the person feeling that he's come to life now, only now. And in fact, there's a concept elsewhere that an oni choshev kemes, that a person who lives in poverty is like a person who is dead. So the shnois chaim is in fact during one's life he can feel as if he is born anew with this type of change of events from the ra'a l'toiva. And that's what the Shnois Chaim is a reference to that. In the question of the Gemara, what is there, two kinds of life? Yes, there are. There's the standard physical, biological life, and then a second life where a person feels that he's gone from a situation of despair to a life of comfort. We continue with another drosha, Alechem Ishim Ekrop. We're going to see a series of comments we have featured with triangles. Sidra on the side under the Mivneh heading, Sidra Shel Meimros Rav Brachia. Now, this pasuk is coming from Sefer Mishlei. Rashi claims that this pasuk is connected by virtue of its presence in Sefer Mishlei with the drasha we were just learning. However, some Meforshim question what Rashi is saying because the gap between them is so great. We were dealing with Perek Gimel and now Perek Ches, so leaving some room to understand why is this drasha over here. But if you take things as Rashi says, this drasha, this pasuk Alechem Ishim Ekra, is connected in some way to Ki Orech Yomim Ushnois Chaim Shom Yosifaloch that we had just before. So, Omar Rav Brachya, Eilu Talmidei Chachomim Shedoimin Lenoshim Voisin Gvura Ke'anoshim. The pasuk of Alechem Ishim is taken, the word Ishim is taken to refer to a woman. It's a Loshin of Isha by virtue of the fact it doesn't say Alechem Anoshim Ekra. So, what is being described here are Talmidei Chachomim that resemble women. In what sense? Rashi says, "An v'sonin u'tshusheh koach." The natural characteristic of women is to be humble. There's greater humility amongst women than there are amongst men, and they are weaker. So that is a description of Talmidei Chachamim, who are, generally speaking, they are humble. And they are, as a result of their expending strength on Torah studies, that weakens them. We see elsewhere Chazal make reference to Torah Mateshes Koichel Shel Adam. The study of Torah weakens a person. And you can see an illustration of this in the seventh parak of Bava Metzia with Reish Lakish and his story with his encounter with Rabbi Yochanan. So the pasuk says, Rav Brachya says, the Aleichem Ishim Ekra is a reference to Talmidei Chachamim that resemble Noshim in the way we just described, resemble women in the way we just described. The Oisin Gvura Kanoshim, and they do acts of great strength like men. The Omar Rav Brachya. Rav Brachya has another drasha. In fact, it will be on the same pasuk. He says, "Haroitze lenasech yayin al gabi hamizbeach." If one wants to experience the fulfillment of nisuch hayayin, this is a practice of pouring wine over the altar in the Beis Hamikdash. Of course, if someone is not a kohen, so there's no chance he'll ever be able to do actual nisuch hayayin. But let's say someone wants to have the merit of doing Nisuch HaYayin without the actual act in the Beis HaMikdash. Yamale groinam shel Talmidei Chachomim Yayin. Let him benefit Torah scholars. Literally, it's let him fill the throats of Talmidei Chachomim with wine. The analogy on a literal level is on the top of the Mizbeach, there were tubes that led down, carrying with it the wine poured into those tubes. The throat of a person is also a tube, and filling that with wine would have the same effect. And the Talmid Chacham is associated with the act, or with the Beis HaMikdash. And where does Rav Brachya see this? Shenemar Alechem Ishim Ekra. Now, the pasuk, as we indicated before, is a reference to Talmidei Chachamim, but the word Ishim also has a sacrificial connotation. The pasuk says, Korban Ishe Lashem, Ishe, whose root is the word Ish, fire, so Ishe has, as we said, a sacrificial connotation. Sacrifice is something that is usually placed in the fire, but the wine offering is also a form of sacrifice, even though it doesn't go into the fire per se. Nevertheless, it's a form of sacrifice, as the word isheh, and in this case ishim, implies. And as we said a moment ago, the pasuk is a double reference to Talmidei Chachamim as well as to sacrifices. And if one wants to have the experience of offering a sacrifice, so bestow benefit upon a Talmid Chacham. Continuing in the Gemara, V'yomar of Brachio, im roya odom shetor pesekis mizaro, if a person sees that Torah is not continuing amongst his children, Yisau bas Talmud Chacham, he ought to marry the daughter of a Torah sage. Shenemar, im yaskin boretz shorshoi, ubofer yomuz gizoi, mireach mayim yafriach, v'osu kotsu kemoy nata. The pasuk, without engaging in the literal translation, but if one sees that he is getting old and his roots are drying out and he's not producing anymore, so he should, as we said, he should marry the daughter of a Talmud Chacham and start to produce anew a generation descendants that are Talmidei Chachamim. So many times you find throughout the Shas this the significance of raising a family that is based on Torah study, based on growth in Torah and fulfillment of mitzvahs. And when we speak about these topics, it's not to the exclusion of all other kinds of, let's say, financial pursuits and means of living. Whatever a person decides to do, or whatever his life's pursuit is, Torah study must be a part of it. And through that, we also we're also concerned with the extension of Torah study to the next generation, having children and students that continue in those ways. The Gemara continues. V'yom tov hoya oise lo yahavov. We mentioned in the Mishnah that the Kohen Gadol, upon his departure from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and successfully completing the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, made a type of holiday. Tana Rabbanan. And here we have an incident involving a Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Maisa b'Kohen Gadol achar shiyosen beis hamikdash. Was an incident involving a Kohen Gadol after he left the Beis HaMikdash. Vavu ozli kli amo basrei. And the community, all of the people around, followed him. He was the center of attention, the star attraction. Kevan dechazinu l'shmaya v'avtayin. When the people in that particular story noticed these sages, shmaya v'avtayin were the gedolei hador of their generation. Time-wise, we're dealing with the latter part of the second Beis HaMikdash. Shmaya v'avtayin were the teachers of the famous Hillel and Shammai. And we know that they lived toward the end of the first base, the end of the second Beis HaMikdash. So when the community saw them, shavkuhu l'didei, they left the Kohen Gadol, the Azli Basri Shmaya v'Avtayin. They went to follow the Gedolei Hador. L'sof Basri Shmaya v'Avtayin lifturi minei de Kohen Gadol. They were, as we say, great sages and also humble individuals, and it was their feeling that they should take leave of the Kohen Gadol. So they, when they came to request their leave, to take their leave from him, Omar Lohen, he, the Kohen Gadol, said to them, and you can imagine the Kohen Gadol was maybe insulted or miffed by the fact that the honor that he was experiencing had been abruptly interrupted by the Tzibur leaving him for the sake of honoring them, Shmaya v'Avtayin. So he says to them, Yesun b'nei amamin l'shlam. B'nei amamim is an expression referring to people whose origins are not from amongst the Jewish people, people who converted. So he says, let the converts or the children of converts go in peace. Omru le. Now, it's speaking to a person. One is told from Maseches Bava Metzia, the end of the fourth parak of Bava Metzia, there's a concept known as Oinoas Dvorim. It's to cause a person pain through speech which could be insulting. The person, let us say, had converted away from idolatry. That's a conscious choice to leave a lifestyle that is only one after one studies and discovers how wrong and mistaken a lifestyle of idolatry is, and then joins the ranks of the Jewish people, accepting Torah mitzvahs after the proper conversion. One doesn't want to be reminded of their past, and rubbing it into somebody, telling them, reminding them of their past ways, is insulting. Well, that's exactly what this Kohen Gadol did to them. Omru lei. So they responded as follows. Yesen b'nei amamin l'shlam da'avdin uvdo da'aroin. Let the descendants of converts see, as far as Shmaya v'Avtayin is concerned, Rashi says on the third line from the top, the calling them b'nei amamin is loshen genayhu. L'fi shebo'u mi'b'nei bonov shel Sancheriv. They were from the descendants of Sancheriv. The Gemara says in Maseches Gittin that the descendants of Sancheriv was the Assyrian emperor in the time of the first Beis HaMikdash. From amongst his descendants, there were people that converted, and Shmaya v'Avtayin were from them. So the Shmaya v'Avtayin, upon hearing their insult, they respond, so let the descendants of converts go in peace. The Avdin Uvda D'Aron, at least they practice the ways of Aaron. Aaron, as the Mishnah in Maseches Ovis tells us, was an Oyev Shalom and Roidev Shalom. He was a person that was in pursuit of peace. And so let us, the children of the descendants from idol worshippers, go in peace, that at least we follow the practices of Aaron. The lo yesi bar Aaron lishlam the lo ovid uvda the Aaron, but not the actual descendant of Aaron. He shall not go in peace, for he does not follow the ways of his predecessor, of his ancestor. The Mishnah. Kohen Gadol mishamesh b'shmoyne kelim v'hedyot v'arba'ah. The Kohen Gadol wears eight clothing, generally speaking, and the common Kohen wears four. And what are the four of the common Kohen? B'ksoines u'michnosayim u'mitznefes v'avneit. The ksoines, a type of, say, shirt or tunic type garment. Michnosayim are for the lower part of the body, pants. Mitznefes is a head covering, a type of hat, avnate, a belt. Moisif alav kohen gadol. The kohen gadol had an additional four articles of clothing, the choshen, ephod, umi'il, vitzitz. Be'elu nisholim be'urim v'tumim. Only when wearing all of these eight articles of clothing would the kohen gadol be addressed while wearing the breastplate. The Urim V'tumim were stones that were set into the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol. V'ein nisholin elo lemelech. Now these stones would miraculously, upon having a question posed to the Kohen Gadol while wearing them, there would be a miraculous response where the letters written on the or carved into the breastplate, into the stones of the breastplate, the letters would offer a response to the question. And only a king had the right to pose questions, we'll say pose questions to the breastplate, but everyone understands it was the Almighty's, let's say, way of communicating the answer to the king. So, v'ein nishalon ela lemelech ulebeis din, the king and to the court. Ulemi shat sibur tzorech lo, or to someone who's necessary for the public. In simple terms, the breastplate was not there for private type questions. In the case of the king represented the tzibur. He represented the public as well as the court. Before we continue in the Gemara, on the side we have a nosei, a topic heading, Mispar hachutim shel pritim shonim. The Gemara will be occupied for quite a while. In fact, this discussion carries over to the top, or to the first half of Daf Ayin Beis Omid Aleph. The number of threads that were used to make the strings that were used for weaving different articles of clothing or vessels in the cloth vessels in the Beis HaMikdash. So once again, we're dealing with strands that were used for threads or strings that were used for preparing different articles. But each thread was made of individual strands. They have a type of breakdown over here, and we're going to talk about different articles and the number of strands that were used to make the threads, or if you will, the number of threads that were used to make the strings used in preparing these different articles. Tonu Rabbanan, Dvorim Shinemar Bohen Sheish, where the word Sheish appears in the Torah in the context of preparing different garments, Kohen-related garments, Beis HaMikdash fabrics. So where you see fabrics referred to by the term Sheish, you should realize Chutan Kofol Shisha. Technically speaking, the word Sheish, and the Gemara will reveal this, has to do with linens. But there's much more to this very short word than just a literal translation of linen. The fact that it's called Sheish also has the number significant that the word conveys, six. Six strands to make the threads used for these kind of items. So we're six strands, six stranded threads. Moshzar, where you see Moshzar appearing in the Torah without Sheish, and that is the case in the preparation of the Rimonim. Rimonim were figurines that were attached to the Me'il of the Kohen Gadol, something the Torah calls Rimonim. Some like to translate the word Rimonim as pomegranate, so if you want to accept that translation, it would be a pomegranate shaped decoration attached to the Kohen Gadol's garments. In that context, the Torah uses the word Moshzar. Well, that tells us Shmoina. How it does that, of course, the Gemara will have to reveal later. It means it was an eight stranded thread. Me'il, the Me'il of the Kohen Gadol, Shneim also was 12 strands. And Poroches, Esrim Va'arba'ah. The Parchas is the curtain that was found in the Beis HaMikdash. 24 stranded threads. Choshen V'Ephod, Esrim V'Shmona, the Choshen article and Ephod of the Kohen Gadol, 28 stranded threads. As we go on in the Gemara, a double underline will appear, so kindly scan down the Omer just to get a feel of the structure, noticing where these double underlines appear, and they continue to Taf Ayin Beis Omer Aleph. On the side, under our Mivneh heading, we've noted Tzitutim Mehabraisa. These represent quotes from the Tanaic source. V'chipus Mokor L'chol Poret Shemuzker Sham. And we'll be seeking out source for each one of the items mentioned. Chuton kofel shisha min olam. We said in the Brisa that we just read that wherever you see the word sheish, it's a reference to a six-stranded thread. Where do you know that from? The Omar Kro. The Pasuk says, Vayasu es hakosnois sheish, ves hamitznefes sheish, ves pare hamigbos sheish, ves michnase abad sheish mosh zar. That's a Pasuk from Shmois, Perik Lamites, Psukim Chof Zayin and Chof Ches. Chamisha Kroi Ksivi. You notice the word Sheish appearing a number of times. The word Sheish, we said before, refers to linen, so that in these Psukim there are five references to linen. The word Bad is counted as one of them because Bad is Sheish. So there are five references to linen in this pasuk. Chad legufei dekisno nehevu. One is for itself, that the articles described in these psukim shall be made of that material. Kisno is associated with flax, which is the raw material for making linen. So kisno refers to linen. V'chad shechuton kofel shisha. One of the psukim, one of the words, is to tell me that it has to be six-stranded. As we said before, instead of the Torah using any other word that it could have used to refer to linen, it chose the word sheish, indicating that it is to be six-stranded. V'chad shiu shezurim, that the six strands must be twisted into one thread. V'chad lishar begodim. Shaloi Nemar Bohen Sheish. The other extra word is to tell us regarding other clothing that the Torah doesn't use the word Sheish in their context, that they shall be made of Sheish. Now you might be wondering, what are those other clothing? So Rashi tells you, Lekamen Meforesh Mai Nihu. This will be explained later. We have a little star indicating Ayin Beis Omen Aleph. You can see this to the right hand side of the Gemara text. If you don't have patience, you can always skip ahead to Ayin Beis Omer Aleph, and you can see that the Gemara deals with that later on. We continue in the Gemara here. V'chad le'akev, and one is to tell me that it's binding, that you don't have an option of using any other material, and that things must be done as they've been taught here. There must be linen, six-stranded, and twisted together into one thread. My mashma the high sheish kisnahu. Where do you see in the word sheish a reference to linen? And kisna, we wrote above that the word pishtim. Pishtim is a Torah word, kisna being the Aramaic equivalent. So where do we see that the word sheish is pishtim? You know, when the Torah refers to shatnez, it says semer upishtim yachdov. Pishtim being linen. In the context of shatnez, wool and linen cannot be mixed when making an article of clothing. So where do you see in the word sheish that it means pishtim? It means linen. We'll see a couple of approaches, and the diamond is used to highlight that on the side under the Nosei Mivne heading. The diamond represents two hezberim minayin lanu sheish equals pishtim. So we now continue in the Gemara. Amar of Yosi Bar Chanina, the Amar Kro. The Pasuk says, bad. We saw just before, Michna say bad. And we saw that in the pasuk quoted from Shmos Perek Lamites. And together with that, you also saw it said Michnasei Bad Sheish Moshzar. So the fact that the word Bad appears together with Sheish, we learn that Bad means something alone, like the word Levad. But the Shorish of that apparently is a two-letter word. Beis Dalid, Dover Ha'ilimina Karka Bad Bad, that which rises, grows from the ground in an individual form. Rashi, across from here, says, Dover halim nakaka bad bad hapishton v'kanvus ein lohem badim v'anofim ke'etzim. The flax plant, which is the basis of the linen material, it's something that doesn't branch out like trees. Ela olin. It has leaves on it, but that's it. It has a single stalk with leaves. Vein hapishton bo ela min hakona emtsoi. And the piston comes from the central tube of this plant. We continue in the Gemara. The Amo Amra. Why not say that Bad means wool? Wool is basically strands of hair that come forth from the animal. The Gemara answers, Amra iftsuli miftsala. Wool splits. People speak about split ends of hair. Well, wool splits into two. It's not singular. Question: Kisna nami iftsuli miftsal. The flax plant is fibrous, and if you were to take a hammer and smash it, you'll notice it splits into fibers. Also, so it also splits. The Gemara answers, Kisna agav lakuse mifsal. The kisna, the fibers appear only after impact. It's not something that happens on its own in a natural way. Therefore, it, the kisna, is more accurately described as bad, as opposed to wool. Ravina omar mehocha. Ravina says, if you want to know that sheish means linen, so take a look at this pasuk. Now he quotes a pasuk from Yechezkel, which describes the clothing of the Kohanim. And it says here, it says, Pare pishtim yu al rosham. Umichnasei pishtim yu al mosnehem. So you can, in the Torah, it mentions Pare hamigbos sheish. We saw this in the pasuk quoted before from Shmois, Perek Lamed Tes. Pasuk Chof Ches, it said, Vespare Hamigbos Sheish. Now, if you don't know what Sheish means, you look in this Pasuk in Yechezkel, where the more common word, Pishtim, is used, referring to the same article of clothing, Pare Pishtim. The Gemara continues, Omar Le Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi asks Ravina, he says, Ha Mekami dosi Yecheskel man omra. Before Yecheskel came along, Yecheskel was a prophet that lived in the latter part of the first Beis Hamikdash period. It's very nice for Yecheskel to tell us what it is, but up till that point in time, from the time the Chumash Shmos Perek Lamites was revealed to the Jewish people, how could they have known what it is? Ole Tamech. So Ravino says back. And this answer is a long answer, so take note of that. Ula tamech, hodiyom Rav Chisto, that which Rav Chisto says, Dovor zeh mitoras meshu rabbeinu lo lamadnu, mitivir chesko ben buzi lamadnu. The following, that a Kohen who is uncircumcised, who or is heretical in beliefs, is unfit for avoda. Until Yechezkel came along and told us that information, how would anyone have known that? It's not spoken out explicitly in the Torah. When you look at the psukim of the Torah, there's no reference to this information. And what does it say in Yechezkel? Kol ben nechor or olev or obosu lo ve'el mikdoshi. Anyone who is an or olev, who is a heretical, or el bosur is uncircumcised, he cannot serve in the Beis HaMikdosh. Well, ha mekami da'asi Yecheskel, that information, prior to Yecheskel's coming, man omra, who said it? And obviously, it's not something that Yecheskel invented. We have a well-known rule that a Novi cannot come along and say something new, something that was previously unknown. Ela, Gemara, Gemiri, La. The Asi Yecheskel, Vas Mecha Akra. There was an oral tradition that contained that information. It was known from the time the Torah was given, but that information was maintained orally. Yechezkel came along and wrote it in a pasuk. Hachanami, so too, with regard to Sheish being Pishtim, Gemara Gemiri Law, it was known orally that Sheish meant linen. Yechezkel came along and put it into a pasuk. There are many, many things in the Torah and in Judaism that remain purely oral. For example, when we say purely oral by way of scriptures, they remain oral. Of course, now that even the oral law has been written down into the Talmud and Sifrei Halacha, etc., so everything, so to speak, is written down. But as far as scriptures are concerned, there are many things that aren't found in the scriptures whatsoever. Example would be that your tefillin are black. How do you know that the straps of tefillin have to be black? That's an oral tradition. How do you know that when slaughtering an animal, that the trachea and esophagus are to be severed? Without, as far as that information being explicit in the scriptures, you're not going to find that. So you are relying on the oral tradition. We make a point of this because there are, unfortunately, many out there in the big wide world that have a great deal of respect that they accord to the scriptures. But when it comes to things of an oral tradition called the oral law, they have this tendency to disrespect it, denigrate it, say it's something that the rabbis made up, and all kinds of other denigrating remarks. Heaven forbid, far be that from the truth. These are oral traditions that were not made up by any human being, but rather transmitted to Moshe Rabbeinu at the giving of the Torah on Mount Sinai and maintained in an oral form for many, many years. And eventually, say many, many years, it was never recorded. These things were never recorded in the scriptures. But when the oral law was written down in the form of the Mishnah and the Talmud, so now we can see it black on white. But as we said in our shiur earlier today, when we discussed order of psukim seemingly out of order, all of this boils down to the same root, and that is the Torah cannot be understood without the accompanying oral Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral tradition that in fact is the basis, the heart and soul of Yiddishkeit, of Judaism. We continue in the Gemara. We have the next double underline, Moshzar Shmoina Menolon. We mentioned in the source above that where you see the word Moshzar in the Torah, it refers to an eight-stranded thread. Where do you know that from? Dichtiv. Now, we did point out earlier that this idea of Moshzar appearing without an accompanying Sheish expression, this is true when it comes to the rimoinim, these decorations attached to the Kohen Gadol's garment. So the Pasuk says, Vayasu al shule hamil rimoine tcheles v'argomon v'soilah shoni moshzar. And there was made for the shule, the bottom of the mi'il. The mi'il was a type of cloak that the Kohen Gadol wore. He wore that over his ksoines. There was made for rimoine. We mentioned these little decorations that were made of three different kinds of materials. Tcheles, argomon, and tcheles shoni. So you have three materials that were used in making the rimoinim. Violif, and we have a house marking, and these are explained on the side as shlavim, the stages in the Gemara, lodas, to know, minayin demoshzar is shmoine, is eight. So this is the first attempt. V'yolif moshzor, moshzor mi paroches. And we do a gzera shava between the rimoinim and the paroches. The paroches is a reference to Shmois Perek Chofov Pasuk Lamed Aleph. We have this on the side of the Gemara. We provide this pasuk, and we've written, let's read the pasuk together on the side. Shmois Chofov Pasuk Lamed Aleph by the paroches, V'yosisa paroches, Chelas v'argamon v'soya shoni v'sheish moshzor ma'ase choishev yase oisa kruvim. The parochis is made of four different kinds of materials. The chelas, argamon, toila shoni, and sheish. Those are four things. And it says moshzor in this posuk. Ma lahalon, just like over there by the parochis, esrim v'arba'a, there were 24 strands. Now, how do you get to 24 strands? So we must explain. First of all, in the parochas, you see the word sheish. And we said before that where you see the word sheish, you have to have six strands. Well, there's six strands, but there are also four materials. So you've got four times six. That's a 24-stranded thread that was made in the, that was present in the making, was used in the making of the paroches. So in the case of the paroches, 24 strands were present. Afkan, so too in the case of the rimoinim, where you also have the word moshzar, esrim va'arba'a. You've got to get to a total of 24. The moshzar, gezer shava, tells me 24 by the Rimoinim. Now the Rimoinim, if you look in the Rimoinim Pasuk, you notice, we just quoted it in the Pasuk, in the Gemara text itself, there were three materials. Tchelas, Argoma, Tola, Shoni. So each one of these materials, in order to get from three materials and get to 24 strands, you have to say that each material was an eight-stranded string. Were eight-stranded thread, and they were then combined, they were twisted together to form, in effect, a 24-stranded thread. And as the Gemara says, da'vekol chad v'chad tamni, each one of the materials, each one of the three materials, were eight-stranded. So that in the original source, we said moshzor means eight strands, we learn it from the Gezerah, through the Gezerah Shava from Paroches, as we just calculated. The Gemara asks, V'nelef mechoshen v'eifoid. Now there is a Pasuk, Perek Chovches, Pasuk Tesvov, we have it written on the side, that deals with the choshen v'eifoid, also articles of clothing worn by the Kohen Gadol. And in that pasuk, if you read it together, let's read it together. It says on the side, we have it on the side of our Gemara. Asiso choishen mishpat maase choishev, kemaase eifo taasenu, zohav tcheles v'argoman v'slashoni v'sheish moshzor taase oisoi. The choishen was 28 strands. Ma lahalon esrim mishmoine. And this will be discussed on Ayin Bey's Omid Aleph as well. But for the time being, we're saying, just like the Choshen Eifod were 28 strands, Afkan Esr Meshmoina, say the same thing regarding the Rimoinim, so that you'll have the Mosh Zor by the Rimoinim, just like the Mosh Zor that you see in the Pasuk regarding the Choshen Eifod, just like the Choshen Eifod was 28 stranded, so too the Rimoinim. And then, as a result of that, then you're going to have to come up with a different definition for the word moshzor. It's not going to be eight-stranded, because we got to that eight-stranded by taking 24 and dividing it by 3. But now, I've got not 24, I'm starting with 28. So the Gemara answers, Donin dovar shelo nemar boi zahav, I'm going to learn the rimoinim of the meal, which is something where gold, zohav, gold, does not appear. Midovar shalonemar bozov, from the parochas, which likewise doesn't have gold in it. When we want to make a gzeirah shavah, we want to have the two elements of a like nature. So the me'il, the rimoinim of the me'il, and the parochas have that in common. Both do not have a reference to gold. La fuke choshen v'eifod, to the exclusion of choshen v'eifod, shenem arbohen zohav, where the Torah does account for gold. Adarabah, the Gemara says, if you want to use some type of logical means of deciding what to learn from what, so I'll tell you to the contrary. Donin beged mi beged lafuke paroches ti oyelhu. I would prefer to learn article of clothing, namely the Rimoni Mi'il, which is the Mi'il is an article of clothing, from the Ephod, which is also an article of clothing, to the exclusion of the Paroches, which is a curtain, the oil, which is part of a structure, it's not an article of clothing. So the question comes full circle around. How do I know that Moshzor means eight-stranded? Elodonin Mei Avnate. I'm going to learn from the Avnate. Now, in the case of the Avnate, you will see, we have the Avnate Pasuk on the side. Take a look at it. Shmois Perek Lamites Pasuk Choftes. It says there, V'yeso Avnate Sheish Moshzor. Once again, you've got the Moshzor word, and there are a number of materials. It says, it's Utcheles V'argomon Eslashoni Maise Roikim Kashut Sivuas Hashem Es Moshe. So you've got the Avnate. There are four materials in the making of the Avnate. There's Sheish, there's Tcheles, Argomen, and Tolashoni. And you've got the word Moshzor in that Pasuk, enabling me to connect it with the Rimoinim, Vidonin, and through this comparison between the Rimoinim of the Mi'il and the Avnate, notice how everything is in common. I have a Beged. The Avnate is an article of clothing as well as the Mi'il. The Dover Shalom Emar Bo Zahav, the no gold is referred to, Mi Beged from the Avnate. It's an article of clothing, the Dover Shalom Emar Bo Zahav, and it also has no reference to gold. The Ein Donin, Dover She'ein Bo Zahav, Mi Dover She'esh Bo Zahav. And I'm not going to learn the Rimoinim from the Cheshin V'Ephod. Rav Mori Omar, Rav Mori is a second reason for not learning from the Choshen V'Ephod. Rav Mori Omar, Ta'asenu Ksiv. The word Ta'asenu appears by the Choshen. Shmois Perichov Ches Posuk Tezvov. We have that on the side. We have it in our Shas Ozer Gemara edition. You can see we dot underline the word Ta'asenu on the side. The word Tasenu appears, and that is a word of limitation or exclusion. Ta'asenu means make it. Ta'asenu lozev lo la'acher. It is made like that with the 28 strands and not anything else. A third explanation of Rav Ashi in this case. Rav Ashi gives us a third explanation as why not to learn the Rimoinim of the Mi'il from the Choshen, in other words, not to learn 28. Why not learn 28 to the as regarding the Rimoinim of the Mi'il? Omar Rav Ashi Omar v'Osiso Ksiv. It says in the Rimoinim Shmois Perik Chavches Posuk Lamid Gimel, and you can see we have this quoted on the side of the Gemara as well. And let's read the pasuk together. It says, V'yosiso al shulov rimoine tcheles v'argomon v'slashoni al shulov soviv v'pamanizov v'soicham soviv. Don't be confused, by the way, by the presence of the word zov before, because this is not a reference to the rimoinim. It's a reference to a different decoration called the pa'amonim. But that aside, it says in this pasuk, V'yosiso, by the rimoinim. And what does V'yosiso tell us? The Osisa Ksiv, the Gemara says, three lines from the bottom, Shiu Kol Asiois Shavois, that all of its makings shall be equal. Now, what do we mean, all of its makings? There were three materials in the making of the Rimoinim. And the three materials must be equal when calculating the total number of strands. Three different materials, and there's a total number of strands, and we should be able to divide that total number by into three equal parts. If you're going to take 28 as your basis, if you were going to learn from the Choshen V'Ephod, you'd be using 28 as your basis. How are you going to divide that into three equal parts? Navid Tlosa Da'asora Asora. Are you going to take the three materials in the Rimoinim and make 10 strands of each one, then havulu talsin, then you're going to come to 30. You have 3 times 10, 3 materials, each material a 10 stranded thread, you get to 30, and we're supposedly learning from the ephod, but there was only 28 there. Navitre de tisha tisha v'chad asora. Maybe 2 of the materials should be 9 stranded threads, and 1 material 10 strands. So you have 18 plus 10, that would get you 28, but that doesn't conform to the Torah requirement. Omar Krovi Osisa, Shu Kol Asiyos of Shavos. The word Osisa implies all the materials must be of equal number of strands, and that wouldn't be the case if you make two of the materials 9 stranded and the third material 10 stranded. So, in the last section of the Gemara, till now, we've been dealing with how do you know that Mosh Zor, which appears by the Rimonim, means 8 strands. So, we just explained that we learn from the Avnet, where you have the word Mosh Zor, and we know the Avnet was made of 24, total of 24 strands, the threads that were made to weave the Avnet were 24 strands. So too the Rimonim, which were made of 3 different materials, and a total of 24 strands, each material being 8 stranded. Hence, Mosh Zor, 8 strands. Me'il Shneimosar Menolan. What about the Me'il? Where do you know that it was a 12 stranded thread? The pasuk says, "V'asisa es mi'il ha'efoid." We're at the top of Ayin Beis Amud Aleph, Kolil Tcheles. Tcheles is a reference to wool, so it was one material. The word Tcheles, which appears in the context of the meal, is now the subject of a gzeira shava. V'yolif Tcheles Tcheles mi poroiches. The Gzeirah Shavah between these two articles is made. Malahalon Shisha, Afkan Shisha, just like by the Poroches, there were 6 stranded threads. Each material was 6 stranded. So too, in the case of the Me'il. Rashi at the top points out the word kolil by the me'il, gedil. The word kolil means gedil. Gedil is something that's twisted together. You find that tzitzis is described in the Torah as gedilim ta'aseh lecha, twisted strings. V'ein gedil pochus mishnayim, Rashi says. Where you see the word gedil, it means that whatever thread you're talking about, it's really a double thread, so that the me'il was made of one material, it was made of wool, and the Gezeirah Shavah connects this to the poroches, and just like the poroches was made of 6 stranded threads, it had several materials, but each material was a 6 stranded thread, in the case of the me'il, whatever the thread is, it's got to be doubled because you see the word kolil. So 2 times 6 gets you to a 12 stranded thread. Question. The neilaf mishulav v'rimoinov. Why not learn that the basic me'il should be like the decorations attached to the bottom of the me'il, the rimoinim? Mala alon shmoinav kan shmoina. We said before that the rimoinim, each material was an 8 stranded thread. And this we pointed out on Ayin Aleph Omid Beis. You have, of course, an arrow to the side to direct you back to where we said that. The Gemara answers, you know why I don't learn Me'il from the bottom of it, from the decorations attached to it? Donin kli mikli, v'ein donin kli mitachshikli. We prefer to learn a vessel, the me'il, vessel, an article of clothing, from another article, the parochas, the curtain, but and not learn the me'il, the kli, from a tachshikli, from something that's merely decorative in nature. The Gemara says, adarabah, to the contrary, I would say, donin gufo mi gufo, v'ein donin gufo me'alma. it would seem more appropriate to learn the Me'il from something that is inherent to the Me'il, the Rimonim, which were attached to the Me'il, a part of the Me'il. So to learn the unknown from the known, which is inherent, as opposed to learning the Me'il from something that's extraneous, the Paroches. The Gemara says, okay, well, you've got a, as far as logic is concerned, you've got a point there, that, and that would have led me to think that the Me'il should be eight stranded, and then doubled would be 16 strands. So the Gemara says, Hainu de'amrinon, that is what we meant earlier when we said that there was an extra word in the Pasuk, the extra reference to Shesh. L'shar begodim shelo ne'mar bohen Shesh. Other articles of clothing that don't have Shesh written in them. Nevertheless, the basic thread has to be six-stranded. And in the case of Me'il, of course, we have the word kolio, which means you take your six-stranded thread and double it, making it 12-stranded thread. So, at this point then, we now know the source for the Me'il being a 12-stranded thread. Continuing, poroches equals esrim varba. The poroches is 24. Well, dalid, there are four threads, the shiso, each one being six strands, lodina velo dina, meaning there is no necessity in discussing this. It is so obvious. Of course, we mentioned all of this information earlier when we pointed out that where you see the word sheish, it means six-stranded, and in the case of the poroches, there were four materials, hence the poroches is 6 times 4, 24 strands comprising the threads used for weaving the poroches. Choshen v'efod esrim u'shmona min olon. We, of course, mentioned this in the course of our discussion on Daf Ayin Aleph Amid Beis, but where do you know that from? Where do you know that the Choshen Ephod were 28 strands? Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, V'asisa Choshen mishpat ma'aseh choshev k'ma'aseh ephod ta'asenu zahav. And here we number the materials, Tcheles v'argomen v'soyashoni v'sheish moshar. Four basic materials, arba deshiso shiso, four materials, each one six-stranded. And we know that by the fact that you see the word sheish in this pasuk as well, as we pointed out earlier. So there's four times six, that's 24, that equals esrim arba. Zohav arba, and four strands of gold thread as well. In your mind, you might say that there was one strand of gold attached to the each thread of different material. So there are four different materials. Each one of those six strands had one strand of gold attached to it. So you have your basic 24 plus four strands of gold. So there's a total of 28 strands in the threads comprising the Choshen V'Ephod. Zov, we read Zov Arbo, Ha, Esrim, V'Tanya. V'Emo, Zov, Nami, Shisha. Why not say that the gold also is a six-stranded thread? Omar Rav Acho Bar Yankiv, Omar Krob. The Pasuk, in the context of the Ephod, says, the Kitzetz Psilim. Psil, Psilim, the word Psil in the plural, Psilim, Hare Kan Arba. The word Psil itself is something that's doubled. So if you have doubling of double, you get to four. And Rashi says, Psilim, Psilim mashma train uchikoytzitz kol echo l'shnayim havalu arbas. Rashi explains differently than we said. So to be in a line with Rashi, of course, Kitzeitz psilim, you shall cut the psilim. The psil is two, and having been cut into two, you get four. Now, the pasuk is found on the side of the Gemara, just to see it in its context. Shmois perik lamites, pasuk gimel. It says there, and that, by the way, this pasuk gimel is coming on the heels of pasuk beis. In pasuk beis, it says, Vayas es ha'efoid. We have this written on the side. I hope everyone is following. It says, Vayas es ha'efoid, zov tcheles vargomu to ha'shoni v'sheish mosar, vayaraku es pachi ha'zov, v'kitzeitz psilim. La'asois b'soich ha'tcheles, soich ha'argomu, v'soich ha'shoni, v'soich ha'sheish ma'asich ho'yshev. So from this, we understand that the gold is four, there are four strands of gold that are added to the 24 strands comprising the material for the choshen and ephod. Rav Ashi Omar. Omar Krob. Now Rav Ashi explains why we don't say six. The pasuk says, La'asos b'soich ha'tcheles soich ha'argomon. To have it in these other materials, have it the gold. What am I to do with the gold? Navid arba'o de trey. If I'm going to make four times two, in other words, you'd have four threads of gold, each one having two strands. Havaluhu tanya. Then you'd come out with eight. And your suggestion before was there should be six like the other materials. So you wouldn't accomplish that by having a double strand gold threads. Navid tray, make two threads of gold, each one having two strands. The tray de chad, and another two threads of gold being made of a single strand, so that would get you to six. Yeah, but that's also not good, because vi osiso ksiv. The word viosisa appears in the context, in this context, shiukol asiyosif shavos, from which we learn that all of its makings must be uniform. And if by making two of the gold threads two-stranded and the other two single-stranded, you're lacking in this concept of shavos, of equality, of equal, and that wouldn't help either. So you can't get to six by virtue of what it already says in the psukim. So we go back to the four as we understood earlier. Four strands of gold are added to the 24 strands comprising the material for the choshen and ephod, giving you a total of 28 stranded threads in their preparation. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.